Man, well, praise the Lord. It sure is good to see you this morning. Great to see this number out. And if anybody's visiting with us, please just make yourself at home. We're glad you're here. Welcome anytime. It's good to see everyone, our members, our regulars, if you will, or what have you, but always excited to see visitors with us also. I do have a few announcements to make this morning as far as upcoming preachers are going to be with us and what have you. But the first thing I want to make mention of is we mentioned, I think, on Wednesday nights, our usher team that we have. We take our security very serious and what have you. And so far, we only have a couple or a few that's taking part in that. But the key to it is the more that we have, the less it would be for a person to do it each service. So, I mean, if we had enough, it might just be once a month or maybe even longer than that. If we had had more volunteers, it might be able to do that. And I know we have a lot of capable young men in the church. So I definitely want to reach out to you and encourage you to maybe consider this. And if you'd like to learn more about it or talk more about it, please reach out to me or Brother David Hodges or Brother James Hayes. Reach out to us. I'd love to talk to you more about that. And that way, we could spread that responsibility out a little bit further. I think it'd be good for us. Also, August 4th, Brother Daniel Lawrence will be with us, preaching for us. August 25th, our homecoming service, Brother Bradley Swift will be with us. And September 15th, Lord willing, just trying to get confirmation on this, but Brother Tim Kirby is planning to be with us with Collegiates for Christ and give us an update and preach for us on that date there. So, just want to give those updates to you. And with that being said, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm going to try to jump right in. I'm excited about the message. Very, very good Sunday school. Appreciate that. When you're going through the book of Psalms, there's a lot to cover in that book. When you look through it, all the experiences that David is recalling different, maybe even different writers from the book of Psalms, but there's a lot to cover there. But I think if you look back over your life, you should, as a Christian, as a growing Christian, should have some instances that you can likewise reflect on and thank God for, thank for his provision of getting you through. And this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 16. It's quite a few verses, about 11 verses there, but I'm going to try to chop it up in little bits so it's not too much to try to take in. I think sometimes I get a little overambitious and maybe cover too much at one time, but it's the way that my Bible has broken it down. And I have a Ryrie study Bible, but the way that it's broken down is it has this as a section, and I think you'll find it goes together pretty well. But I want to preach on the topic of something maybe different. You probably, I don't know that you necessarily ever heard it entitled this before, but the Bible is full of this topic. On the topic of self-care, taking care of yourself. You know, there's times that you get so busy in life, and I know I've preached on this, maybe mentioned this a lot, we get so busy in life that we don't take time to maybe look at details and things, and we talk about it every week. Now, not a week goes by, probably we really don't talk about it as side conversation in the church or even at work or what have you, about how fast time keeps seemingly moves on and how past just so fast. And then, you know, there's times now that if I do have a day that it seems like very rare, but a day that you're kind of to yourself, it's like, my goodness, what in the world do I do? What do I do with this day? How many of you always feel like you have to be doing something even if you don't have to be doing something? I mean, don't you always feel that way? You're like, I've got just a minute, but I need to fill it with something. And if we're doing that, we're not really resting a whole lot and not really resting in the Lord, and he really wants us to do that. I'll go ahead and give a little bit of preface here. We'll talk about a little bit more, but you know, when you're talking about like exercising, lifting weights, getting stronger and what have you, you know, I think the idea is you feel like you have to be doing something all the time. I used to lift weights several years ago, and it's like my max wasn't going up or what have you. And they were telling me, well, what's your rest day look like? When do you rest? I'm like, I don't. Well, they said, that's your problem. You see, what happens is when you're in working out or what have you, when you're lifting and you're focusing on the doing part so much, the doing is, that's when you're breaking your muscles down. When do your muscles grow then? When you're at rest. Isn't that something? Now, think about it, how it is in our spiritual life when you're going through battles, and there's nobody here that's not going through something. I know that. It might be small, it might be large, and larger in nature, but you know, the thing about it is, I know Christians are always going through something. That's just the way this world is. It's just kind of set up that way. We're enemies with the world, and it's just like that. They don't like God, they don't like what He's about, and therefore there's always this butting of heads, and there's always something going on, the grind. You know, it's a grind, as I've heard it referred to that way. But if you spend all your time, you know, just working, 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 when you actually grow, and you're kind of spending most of your time in the breakdown period. But the Bible teaches us and says so many times, rest in the Lord, rest, 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 because that's when we grow. It truly is. You think about battles that you've gone through as you've experienced things, but Lord willing, as you come out of that battle, you should, Lord willing, have a time to rest in Him and slow down long enough that you're listening to what He is trying to teach you and tell you, and you can actually hear Him say, okay, this is what I wanted you to learn from this experience. That's when you slow down long enough to rest. If we're never resting, then we're never really growing. We're not giving our bodies, our minds, our hearts time to move forward. It's you just bouncing from one thing to the other. But you know, if you have a really good day of rest, the next time you go to the gym, it's worth something. You have a really good time of rest, you go into your next battle or next situation that the world might put you into, you'll find that rest was worth something, it meant something. The rest is just as important as the work. Did you know that? Think about it. Never really thought about it that way, but you know, the way our bodies are, the way our minds are, we as people feel like if we're not doing something, then we're not accomplishing something. But so often, you see in God's Word, it's He is the one that's doing the accomplishing. He lets us take part in it, but it's Him that does this. It's He that does the work. It's He that we are supposed to be behind. And I've thought about this a lot in recent days, about self-care, just enjoying. If you do have what you call some downtime, just spend that time with the Lord and enjoy it. Don't let it pass by. Don't take it for granted, but really enjoy it and use it for what you should be using it for. I remember as a fellow one time I used to work with years and years ago, he was a student worker. So this is when I first started at App, and he was talking about, and it kind of caught me by surprise. We worked in food services at the time in the storeroom, and he was talking about like on a work night. He said, "Did you ever just go home after work, you know, and take a shower and shave before you go to bed?" I was like, "No, man, you know, I usually do that in the morning." He said, "You don't just take that time to take care of yourself?" I'm like, "No, man, I'm a dude. Dudes don't do that, you know, that kind of thing, you know? I mean, I just never really thought about that, you know? And I thought, man, there is something to taking care of yourself. We get so wrapped up in things that we don't. And one of the last things, I think one of the last conversations I had with my Uncle Eddie, I'm trying to remember, I'm not exactly sure, but it was at Mountaindale, and it was at a funeral service, and I can't remember exactly. I was trying to recall which one it was, but the last words I remember my uncle telling me was, "Take care of yourself." This was a time when he'd been very sick with cancer, and I think he knew at that time that his time was drawing short, not knowing exactly how much time maybe he had, but that was the last words that he spoke to me. And you know, I thought that is very, very good advice. And I want to give that advice to you this morning, to take care of yourself. Here in the Bible, we find an example here of self-care. I see Timothy being charged, if you will, by Paul here, and Paul is giving him some information, some encouragement, some teaching about watching out for the dangers of false teachers and how to avoid that. But I think you'll find that this not only applies for that, but taking care of ourselves daily. We can't just do it part-time. It's a full-time thing, just little by little taking care of ourselves. But 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now, that now is, and of which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hands, the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given to us. God, we thank you for your word. God, your guidebook that you give to us. Lord, that we can have something to go by, the standard, that we can learn from it, grow from it. And God, help us to place our minds on it and our center our lives around it and focus on it, God, that we could live the lives that you would have us to, that you've called us to have and called us to be, Lord, and to live out. Father, we thank you for all those that are with us this morning that's found their way here, God. And Lord, anybody visiting, God, we're thankful for them. Just pray that you make them feel at home, Lord. Just help us here today. Help us to pull what you'd have us to from your word. Always seeking, Lord, what you'd have for us, each message, each lesson. And God, I just thank you so much for our Sunday school teachers and the time and the energy that they put into studying, Lord. Brother Nathan and the choir, God, just those who play the instruments, God, I just thank you for everyone who takes part in our church, Lord, the usher team, everyone, Lord. I don't want to forget anybody. Brother Robert and Sister Mildred, Lord, we just thank you for all that everyone does, Lord. God, I pray that you be with our church. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to grow, Lord, and move forward for you. And Lord, always be with our lost, God. Just pray that you give us the words. And God, I pray that your convicting Holy Spirit, God, just be upon them each service, each day, God, until they accept you, Lord. Go with us, God, now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I always enjoy kind of reading through the book of Timothy, kind of looking through, and I enjoy it because it's a charging book. It's an encouraging book for the most part. It kind of lays out what a preacher's supposed to do and kind of gives you an instructional book there. But I like what it says here in verse number 6. And I tell you, I want to be a good preacher. I want to be a good preacher. And Brother Tim, it tells you right here, if you want to be a good preacher, what you're supposed to do. It kind of makes it simple. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Well, amen. I want to be a good minister. I want to remind you of some things this morning about taking care of yourself. And it's talking about being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Paul had given to him these words, given these to Timothy, that he could learn by, live by it, and grow by it. And that's what he's talking about here. Love the word nourished. That means supplied, and it causes you to grow. How many of you here really have an interest in growing your spiritual life with the Lord? How many? You really think about that? I want to grow in the Lord, the fear and admonition. I really want to grow in Him and gain from Him. I do. I really do. I think most people are very ambitious when maybe it comes to work or things like that. If you're a private business owner, you want to grow your business, you want to do as well as you can, and there's things that you would do and put into place that you would be more successful. When you see this word here, that's what it's talking about in our spiritual lives, things that you can do. It outlines that for us, not only as the pastor here, the preacher, but it also goes into talking to the church and the body of the church and how to grow. But the church being the leader, or the preacher being the leader of the church, guided by the Holy Spirit, it's important that he grow. I've heard this said, I don't know how many times, the church will not outgrow the pastor. I don't want to stunt your growth. I don't want to get in your way. I want us to grow together. I really do. I thank God for the spirit that I've been feeling around here. You know, many times people ask, well, how's the church going? How's everything going? And I said, it's going really well. I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving. And that's huge. That's everything. If you don't have that moving, then what do you have? Do you even have a church if you don't have the Spirit moving? What do you have? I don't want us to have just gatherings. I want us to have church. And here's a way to ensure that in what he's talking about self-care and taking care of ourselves. And taking care of our church. Verse number 7 here, it says, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He talks about godliness a couple of times in the scripture. Kind of interesting because old wives' fables are very common things. You know, I've heard it said, and you have too, and people say, well, you know, the Bible says this. It's like the Bible says, and they'll say, they'll give you something that almost sounds like a verse, but it's not. I'm like, I just don't really know that that's in the Bible. Maybe it's not a bad thing, but I don't know that that's in the Bible. And people hold to it that way. Well, just give me the chapter and verse, and let's see. Let's just make sure. Like, well, it ain't in there, but it's good. You know, somebody will say that. I don't know. I told Brandy, I was talking to her about this week, and some people shared it with me, and I promise I'm not being critical. I know people mean well. I know that. But somebody shared something with me this week, and you probably saw it. If you're on Facebook, you probably saw it. All this going around, you know, I know it's made the news and everything about Leviticus chapter number 8, you know, the calling of Levitical priests. You know, that was a very serious thing, how they were to be anointed, the right ear, the right thumb, the big toe, and how sacred and set apart that they are. And I told Brandy just jokingly, I guess maybe she saw me laugh. She said, what? I said, well, now they've got Trump as a Levitical priest. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, they're trying to attach Leviticus 8 to him. I said, that's just not how it is. I said, preach, you going to say that? Yeah, I'm going to say that. Yeah, it's two different worlds. You look at the President of the United States versus what was set aside for the Levitical priest in the Old Testament. That's two different worlds. You can't make that fit. Okay? You can't make that fit. And what happens in this day and time, people see a little bit in the Bible and they try to associate it with the current event that has nothing to do with it. Nothing. You know what that is? That's a wives fable. That's where somebody's trying to make something fit. They're trying to make it into something that it's not. And it says profane. That means irreverent to anything sacred. You see that a lot in this day and time. People will take, false teachers will take God's word and they'll mingle just enough of it into something you usually see on social media, and then it's like people say, oh my goodness, look at that, it's fulfillment of prophecy here. Has nothing to do with it. Not a thing. And see, the problem is people water down God's word if you don't realize it or not, but what he's saying here, exercise godliness. Stay with godliness, Timothy, is what he's saying here. Godliness, that's the belief and reverence in God and his character. Just staying Christ-like is what it's talking about. Doing the simple things, the little things each day that we should be doing. He's saying focus on that. You know, people want to do things, feel like they're doing and moving. Look at verse number 8. This is some people probably cleave to this verse and some people probably put it away. But it says here, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now, or now is, and that which is to come. It's talking about the importance of staying godly versus over bodily exercise. We use that explanation there at the first of this service, talking about how exercise works and what it is. You know, people place so much emphasis on looks today. People are more content looking the part than being the part. They just are. I mean, it's amazing. You know, people are so caught up in titles. They want titles of things in the workplace. I don't know. I look at things from time to time, and I've seen titles and all this. Oh, Brother Mike, I don't know if you've seen it like on campus or anything, but I've seen director titles and associate directors and assistant directors. You think, man, that's probably a high-paying position. You look at the salaries. They ain't paying nothing. It's just entitled. People want the title. People want to be built up in title. Look at me and my title. You see, that's the way the world is. You go back and you look at Saul. What was Saul's accomplishments? He was a foot taller than everybody else. He looked the part. If we want a king like another nation, like all the other nations have, we at least want to be taller, look stronger, look badder. That's what we want, right? Looks, looks, looks. You see, that's how this world is kind of built. That's what it's built around and what it's talking about here. And of course, we want to live as long as we can. We want to be as healthy as we can be. I'm not downplaying the importance of taking care of ourselves, but look what the Word of God says. What's more important? If you've got the great physician taking care of you, why do you have to spend all that time in the gym? That's what he's saying. Think about it. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, everything. If you want to be profitable, be godly. That's what the Word of God teaches. You'll see here in a minute, it talks about doctrine. You see the importance of following God's doctrine, if that's his word that is forever settled and that's what we're going to be judged by, is it not important that we just stay simply with it? Exercise it. Do what it says. Exercise unto godliness. Again, it said here, it's profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Not only having the things the way that we should be, looking at the right perspective of life here, but also knowing we have the promise of tomorrow in heaven if you're saved. Well, I tell you, it's a beautiful thing to think about. It's a beautiful thing to hold on to. Verse number 9 clarifies that. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, worthy of all kind reception. Hold on to that. He's saying, just again, be about my business, be about my work. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I tell you, that verse just means more and more to me every day in Proverbs. You think about the importance of it, just staying with what you're supposed to do. Verse number 10, it says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. You see how that includes lost people and saved people alike? There's only one Savior. That's Jesus Christ. There's only one. There's nobody else that you could put your hope in, your confidence in, your trust in. There's nobody else that you could do that. Again, and it says here, just listen to what it says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Working to the Lord, a lot of people, this world, they just don't appreciate that. They don't look at what the work for the Lord is being valuable in any way. They see that as something that kind of holds everything back, what they're trying to do. They don't take it serious. Therefore, it's a reproach. They bring shame upon it and try to shame those who try to live Christly, live godly, because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. See, verse number 11, it kind of switches over here. These last few verses, Paul is telling Timothy to command and teach and preach on these things here. If you want to be a good preacher, you want to help people to get their minds focused on what they should be focused on, he's saying, look at these verses right here. Look at these commandments. These things command and teach. Verse number 12 here says, let no man despise thy youth. You know, I talk about that a lot. I spend a lot of time with the young people. I think about our young people. Thought about you a lot this week, our young couples. And I tell you, church, I've got a burden for this group of people in particular. They're the next rising upcoming part of our church. That's the church. When you see them in the pews, that's our church. If you don't see them in the pews, that's our church. That's something very serious. I want to help them, mentor them, teach them, train them, or help them in any way that I can. And he's saying here, to not despise thy youth. To not take it not seriously, not to waste your youth. I remember Jeremiah, he was saying when he was called, he's saying, I'm but a child. Nobody is going to listen to me. Nobody's going to take me seriously. I tell you, young people, I want you to know I take you very seriously. As you're getting married and Lord willing, having children, you are stepping into the next phase of life, which is a very hard stage of life. And I don't say that discouraging. I say that encouraging, that I want you to know that I'm here for you and I support you. I'll never forget the day that we brought Josh home. I'll never forget it. We had been in the hospital. Things, thank God, had gone well. It wasn't so easy with Brandy. Brandy did all the heavy lifting for that, and I'm not trying to take any credit there at all, and I know that. But I went home and got the monitor ready, got the kerosene ready, doing some things like that, went back to the hospital, got her, and I remember we got home, we sat down on the couch, and she just started crying. Reality set in. It's like, what do we do now? We didn't have our helper. We had those people that were helping us in the hospital, the nurses. That was a great experience and a great help, but reality set in very, very quickly. You know, I grew up in church, and I've told you, I've given testimony where I'd gotten away from church, gotten into work, gotten away from church, but I want to encourage you, don't ever let that happen. Don't ever let that happen. No job is more important than what you have in God. I want you to know that. The earlier in life that you align yourself to these things, self-care that we're talking about, the better off you'll be when you get older. There's times in my life that I maybe even this week talking to Brandy, if I'd have known this is how it was going to be, I would have aligned things much differently.
I would have probably gone to Bible school much sooner. I'd have probably done things completely different in my life, but I didn't know this was coming. But one thing rings true. If I had continually, every single day, put God first, I would have been better aligned for where I'm at today. And there's nobody in here that can't say that. Brother Ben, nobody else could say that or could be able to not say that. No matter what you do, if you're thinking, I'm trying to figure out my career, what am I going to do in forms of providing for my family, if you put him first, he will align those things out. And guess what? It won't contradict with his word. And it won't contradict with being in his house. He'll align those things out. You see, I had felt a call to service in law enforcement, and I thank God for those folks. And again, not saying anything negatively there at all. This is where God wanted me to be, and you can't be there and here. I'll tell you, as young parents raising kids, he wants you and your kids to be in his house. I promise you that. That's how you get nourished up. That's how you get that help. And talking about being profitable, that's how you become profitable unto him. And get back on the right page down here where we're at. Again, it says, let no man despise thy youth. Don't think that where you're at your young age, don't waste that. He's saying, be thou an example of the believers. He's saying, go ahead, even in your young age, go ahead and commit to me now. Follow me now. Do what I'm asking you to do now. So later on in life, you'll be that much further ahead. He's got a plan for you. I don't second guess that in my life or your life. Either one, he's got a plan for you. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in what you say. Uphold God's word. Know it, study it, and uphold it the way you're supposed to. And in conversations, that means giving and how you give and how you take care of people. It's what you see here in verse number 12, even in a young person, is a very mature person. I thought that I was grown up and mature, but when I look back to when I got married and when Josh was born, I was extremely immature. You know what they say, age ain't nothing but a number. Well, that's true. You can be an older big baby Christian. You can. You can be 60 years old and be a big baby Christian. I want to tell you. But you know, you could be 20 years old. I think they're saying here in God's word, I believe it's saying that teacher talks about Timothy being in his 30s. But look what Timothy was doing in his 30s. Look the responsibility he had. You could be in your 20s and you could be in your 30s and you could be far more a mature Christian than somebody in their 60s. Well, how? How? It's because you spend time in his word. You take him seriously. You take him seriously. Again, they use the example here. Paul uses the example about bodily exercise. It is amazing what people will do to look the way they want to look. But yet it's amazing what people won't do to have the life that they claim they want to have. Isn't that something? Think about that. Think about that. We have God's word in front of us. It teaches us. It tells us what to do. And sometimes we take a little bit. We let a little bit go. And then we wonder why we don't get the results. I tell you, if you put God's word in its place, it will place you where you're supposed to be in your life. It will absolutely do that. That's his promise. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou thy youth, but be thou an example unto the believers in word, in conversation, and in charity, in giving. The Bible speaks much about charity. If you really want somebody to know how much you care for them, you take care of them. You take care of your brothers and sisters, those around you in the community. I tell you, and that leads straight into this next word, spirit. They feel the spirit and see that you're willing to help them. People do not care about how much you know until they know about how much you care. You got to really take that to heart. In spirit, and in faith, your faith in growing and trusting in him and in purity. Purity is a big word, and that I think here in this context, let's talk about people having a pure motive in what they're doing. Doing what is right just simply because it's right, not because you're trying to get something beyond that. This is what the Lord would have us to do, and just staying pure in that. And Paul here telling Timothy what to do, I believe maybe with his congregation. Back here at this time, too, there was a lot of reading that took place, live reading, kind of what you would see here. Maybe this would be probably the closest thing to that in our day and time. It says, till I come, give attendance. Don't read too fast. Pass that a word. Attendance. Attendance is number one. Give attendance. Number one, be here. I want to encourage you to be in God's house. I want you to encourage you to have your children in God's house. That changes everything dramatically. Give attendance to reading. Reading God's word, not only in church, but having a set apart time in your home life that you do that. And I, not by show of hands, but I'm telling you, how many of you read the word of God this week? How many of you? Did you read it daily? Did you read it at all this week? There is a huge importance to that. It's not that you have to hit a home run every single time. But if you take a little bit of time every day and spend that time in God's word, it will help you. I mean, what else is in there if you're not putting that in there? What else are you filling it with? Things at work, things on social media, things on TV, things in sports, all these things fill in. It's like, well, if I have any room left, I'll try to put a little bit of the Lord in there. I'll try to put a little bit of God's word in there. Thought about it this morning, a good thing for us to focus on. You don't have to read an entire chapter. You don't have to read an entire book and try to remember all of that. If you could take one verse or one concept in one verse and focus on that in 1 week, you'd be that much further ahead. The Lord will allow that to grow in your life and to help you. You focus on those things. Let those things grow. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. I like the word exhortation there. I want you to be encouraged this morning. I really do. Think a lot about my church through the week. See your different faces throughout the week and just think about you and try to pray for you, not knowing what you might be going through specifically, but I want you to be encouraged. God's word will encourage you. Believe it or not, there's some good things in there, some wonderful things in there. Is it preacher you saying it like that? Yes, it's the most exciting book you'll ever read. I promise you that. Think about all that you see accomplished in there, all that's been fulfilled. Name one other book that has 100% prophecy fulfillment, 100% accurately. Name one other book. See the excitement. I thank God that He gives me an excitement to want to learn more about His Word, make it a lifelong experience. I just want to know more and to learn more about Him. And then it says doctrine. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Doctrine is important. Staying in the right book, listening to the right doctrine is imperative. Again, I've said it probably today, but you think about it. God's word is forever settled in heaven. That's the book by which we will be judged by. The doctrine that is taught in there is what we are going to be judged by. Do you not want to know all that you can? That's what we're going to be taught, judged by. That's how it's going to happen. And if you know, and you imagine if you didn't have God's word and had no knowledge of what was going to take place, but God gave it to us, said attend to it, listen to it. It's important. I think there's been a lot of attempts to wash down the doctrine of God, His word, but don't let that happen in your life. Verses 14 through 16, I'm going to try to hurry along here. It says, neglect not the gift that was in thee. Again, it goes on to say, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I believe this is talking about with his call to preach. Neglect not that call. You know, it would be easy to do that, get caught up in work and things in life and get grinded down, like I said, not taking self-care opportunities. It'd be easy to get ground down, but he's saying neglect not the gift, neglect not that. I want to encourage you not to neglect what the Lord's given you. The purpose that He's placed on your life, to not neglect that. It's easy to do. We get motivated a lot of times. I thought about this being a very good January 1 message, but it's good for every single day. We're about the mid part of the year. If you made any kind of New Year's resolutions, how are they looking now? Are you holding through to it? People have a way of, again, being all or nothing, and if they don't feel like they're succeeding where they want to be, they just give up. You see, the Word of God teaches us not to do that. It tells us to neglect it not, to stay focused on it, and little by little get back in the game, get back in the fight. Verse number 15, it says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate. That means to set your mind on it. All throughout the day, I know we have worriers, we have anxious people, we have people who dwell on things. Well, the Bible here is telling us to dwell on these things. That's what meditate means. It means to dwell. Let me give you something to dwell on, is what the Word of God is saying. Meditate upon these things. Doesn't matter what position you hold. It doesn't matter what you do in life. He's saying if you want to be profitable in what I'm doing, profitable in the Word of God and what God has going for you, this is how you do it. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Sell out to it. Sell out to the Word of God. What you study throughout the week, what you meditate, it might be that one verse, that one context of verse. He's saying, give yourself wholly to that. Start there. You have to start somewhere. If you're going to take care of yourself, you have to start somewhere. And he's saying, given this here, thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Your usefulness, your betterfulness is what it's talked about in profiting here, may appear to all. God is saying, if you want to see this work, you just do it. I'll take care of the results. And other people, if you can't see it, other people will see the benefit of what I can do in your life. So I think that's important that people see that from day to day. That's what the Word of God is teaching us here. And verse number 16 really, again, made me think about this. Self-care, taking care of yourself. It says, take heed unto thyself. I see the Word of God here telling us, Paul giving this example or this encouragement to Timothy, saying, take heed unto thyself. Take care of yourself. Take the time to slow down and rest. Take the time to meditate on these things. Don't let these days just pass by so quickly. And one day you look back and you're like, how did we get here? How did we get here? You know, again, thinking about our young people's class, young couple's class, I think about it like this. I look at my life and I thank God for where I am. I wouldn't change that for nothing. Me and Brandy had that conversation this morning. I would not change where I'm at today for nothing, but there's a lot of decisions looking back I would have changed had I known. Had I known. You see, I think that's why God places word like this in our life. If we do this daily, you will look back with less regrets. You've tried to do things a little bit each day, a little bit along the way, but if you get away from that and you look back and say, man, where could I have been today? Where could I have been today? If I'd have stayed in the gym, what would my bench be today? I don't want us to look back on life like that spiritually. Look at all the things, again, it says here, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them. For doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. The importance of sharing this with our young people. The importance of our kids, our grandkids, those that come on behind us. The importance of them hearing all of this and taking this in. It starts with us today. That's how we share it all the way down. Talking about the song that was sang this morning. How many years ago that Amazing Grace was first heard, and everybody here knows it. But how many times have you heard it? But it was passed down from generation to generation. That's the way God's word is. It's passed down. But I'm going to close right here. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask Sister Alice, if she will, to come to the piano.